Lord. Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, July 31, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are studying the results of justification. We have seen the first result, peace with God, which is reconciliation, the manward work of Christ on the cross. The second result, access to God. Verse 2, by the agency of whom the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access. Access into the presence of the living and true God, and therefore a personal relationship with the living and true God. By means of faith, faith in Christ. Into this grace, this is the third result of justification, into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever. And so we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God and the essence of God. And so we are looking at the third result of justification, eternal security. And we've started out with the essence of God rationale, which is focusing on three attributes of the essence of God. The attribute of eternal life, which God gives to anyone, any place, anywhere, at the moment of faith in Christ. And the righteousness of God and the justice of God, for at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you, declares you to be righteous or justified, establishing a grace pipeline. And that's where we end in the seventh subpoint. You are encapsulated by the righteousness and justice of God. You're encapsulated by the integrity of God. Therefore, God will not let you go because you are a failure or you sin or you make bad decisions. So, sub point eight. God never gives His righteousness and His eternal life without putting it in a permanent container, and that is eternal security. God never gives His righteousness and eternal life without putting it in a permanent container, which is eternal security. Every person who simply believes in Jesus Christ is given the gift of eternal life and imputed with the righteousness of God, declared to be justified. So God never gives His righteousness and eternal life without putting it in a permanent container. We cannot lose our salvation. You cannot lose what God gives to you from His perfect essence. 9. Eternal security is defined as an unbreakable relationship with the righteousness of God and the eternal life of God. Eternal security is defined as an unbreakable relationship with the eternal life of God and the righteousness of God imputed to you. It is an unbreakable relationship because God will not break the relationship regardless of what we do or what we fail to do. Our salvation does not depend on us. It depends on God and His grace, not on you. Totally on the grace of God. 10. Neither God, nor man, nor angel can cancel or destroy this unbreakable relationship with God. Neither God, nor man, nor angel can cancel or destroy this unbreakable relationship with God. Now, there are a lot of believers that think that you can lose your salvation. They're taught that from the pulpit. Unfortunately, usually those churches are extremely legalistic, and it's the pastor's way of trying to browbeat everybody to do what he wants them to do. And if you don't do it, you're going to lose your salvation. Well, that is, unfortunately, that goes on in many, many churches. It's not a pastor's job to browbeat the congregation. It's the pastor's job to feed them the Word of God, the absolute truth of God's Word. Feed it. Jesus said to ask Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep." And that's the pastor's responsibility. You love the Lord Jesus Christ, then feed the sheep. So you assemble here. You're free to assemble. You're free not to assemble. You're free after you come here to believe and eat the food that's fed to you, or you're free not to eat it. And that's totally up to you and your free will. My responsibility is to feed you, present to you what the Word of God says. And there will be those believers who believe it, and there will be those believers who will not believe it. We all have a free will and a volition. You're free to succeed, you're free to fail. And that's true in the spiritual life. You're free to succeed and glorify God, you're free to fail. You're free to live your life in the unique spiritual life God has given us. You're free to live your life in the cosmic system that the ruler of this world, Satan, provides. That's strictly up to you. But this is an unbreakable relationship because God will not break the relationship regardless of what we do or what we fail to do. Neither God nor man nor angel can cancel or destroy this unbreakable relationship with God. And you have to be very, very arrogant to think that you can do something to make some renunciation of God that can cancel what God has done for you. You think you're greater than God is? You see, at that point, you are so arrogant, you think you're greater than God is. There is nothing the believer can do to cancel that one second decision of faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have the power or the ability to cancel it. No matter how sinful you are, no matter how evil you are, no matter what bad decisions you make. So, 11. In other words, God is greater than you are. God is greater than you are. And yet there are people who are so arrogant that they think they are greater than God. And at that point, you're the dumbest person walking on this earth. The dumbest people are those who think they can lose their salvation and cancel the grace of God. Knowing the doctrine of eternal security does not cause you to go out and raise hell. Rather, it motivates you to want to know this wonderful God who has provided such fantastic things for you because of one decision you made to simply believe in Jesus Christ. 12. Man's failure does not abrogate the essence of God. Man's failures does not abrogate the essence of God. The fact that you have a lack of integrity in your life, in the believer, cannot cancel the integrity of God, the righteousness and justice of God. Failure to live the spiritual life does not cancel your eternal salvation. And yet there are many people, many believers, who are more impressed with their failures than with who and what God is. And that is our problem. That's not God's problem. We need to be more impressed with who and what God is, not impressed with our failures. 13. Salvation through faith in Christ results in receiving the gift of eternal life and the imputed righteousness from God. Salvation through faith in Christ results in receiving the gift of eternal life and the imputed righteousness from God. And this forever eliminates the possibility of losing salvation by any failure on our part. Our human righteousness breaks down. Why? Because we have a sin nature. But God's righteousness will never, never let us down. We have it permanently. And therefore we stand before God not on the basis of our righteousness, who and what we are, but on the basis of His righteousness, who and what He is. 14. It is the quintessence of human arrogance to assume we can do anything to cancel or abrogate our eternal salvation. It is the quintessence of human arrogance to assume that we can do anything to cancel or abrogate our eternal salvation. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2. This is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote before his execution. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 11. And it starts out, faithful is the word. Faithful is the word. If we died with him, this is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes you. You're identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what Paul is referring to here. If we died with him, identification with Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, we will also live with him, current positional truth, identification with Christ in union with Jesus Christ. Verse 12, if we endure, If we endure suffering for blessing, this is the winner. Winner believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ comes under a fantastic category of greater grace blessing. It's called suffering for blessing. Only the winner believers qualify for this. Not the reversionistic believers, not the loser believers, not the baby believers, not the adolescent believers. When you grow up to spiritual adulthood, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you are qualified for greater grace blessings. And one of the great category of greater grace blessing is suffering for blessing. If we, winner believers, endure suffering for blessing, we will also reign with Him. Reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. These are all the winner believers here. If we disown Him, deny Him, He will also deny us crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. 13. If we are faithless, disbelieving, negative volition, reversionism, you even get to the point, at one point you believed in Christ, but now you say, well, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible anymore. I don't believe Jesus Christ. But at one point you believed in Christ. If we are faithless, disbelieving, negative volition, reversionism, yet He, God, will remain faithful. He cannot disown Himself, His own essence. His own essence, His eternal life, His absolute righteousness, His perfect justice. He cannot disown Himself, His essence. You have eternal security. Great passage. All right, that is the essence of God rationale for eternal security. Now that brings us to the second one, is the exegetical rationale for eternal security. I really love this one. Yeah. You hang on, fasten your seatbelt, you're going to probably want to fall out. And you may not want to fall out, but I don't want you to fall out. You know, we're not going to do any holy roller stuff up and down the aisle. The exegetical rationale for eternal security. You know what we have in this? Ephesians 2:8-9. I know a lot of you know, you've memorized Ephesians 2:8-9. That's great. That's great. I'll never forget when Debbie was in having her cancer surgery. And the waiting room was packed. So I was sitting in a chair, but I got up when a lady came in, older lady. I said, would you take my seat, please, that I can stand over here? And I was waiting and waiting, and this older man came up and he said to me, you have a remarkable countenance. Now, nobody's ever said that to me before. I have a remarkable countenance. And I thought, right away, I thought, you know, this guy is as Mormon as you can get. And he said, what are you? I said, well, my wife is in for cancer surgery. And I said, well, he says, you seem so with great peace and almost happy. I said, well, I'm a Christian. My wife's a Christian. And we know that God has a perfect plan for her life, perfect plan for her life, perfect plan for my life. And whatever He has here, it's in His perfect plan, and we just want to honor Him and glorify Him while it's taking place. And I realized that he was probably a Mormon, so I said, if you were to die today, will you go to heaven? He said, yes. I said, well, why? Because I believe in Christ and I have done lots and lots and lots of good works. I said, are you trusting in those good works to get you to heaven? Yes, yes, all my good works are going to get me into heaven. I said, well, you won't be in heaven. you'll be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. I said, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he says, I heard that was in the Bible somewhere. And I said, well, it is. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And then he went and sat down. Well, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is the exegetical rationale for eternal security. You know why? Now hold on to yourself. You buckled in. We have a perfect periphrastic participle. Oh, hold on. Hold on right there. Perfect periphrastic participle. Yee-haw! Whew! What is a periphrastic participle? Well, it's actually made up of two verbs. You have an intensive, perfect passive participle of sozo here, the verb to save, and you also have the present active indicative of the to-be verb, ame. Always in a periphrastic participle, you have two verbs doing the job of one. Periphrasis means circumlocution. See, now that helped, didn't it? It means circumlocution. It is a roundabout way of saying something that could be said more simply and briefly by a single verb. The periphrastic participle is carried over from classical Greek, and it has a very, very important purpose. The writer uses two verbal forms to provide a more forceful and powerful statement. So this purpose is designed to add great emphasis to what's being stated. So, one, nothing is more forceful than the expression of eternal security of the believer in the perfect periphrastic participle. Nothing is more powerful, more forceful than the expression of eternal security of the believer in the perfect periphrastic participle. The periphrastic participle is one of the most powerful, most forceful of all expressions in any language, even in Japanese, Randy. And by the way, Randy said he might one day sing Amazing Grace in Japanese for you all. We're all looking forward for that one. The periphrastic participle is one of the most powerful, most forceful of all expressions in any language. In the Greek, it is so strong and powerful that it has no loopholes and no leaks of any kind. Two, the perfect tense is an intensive perfect, saved in the past with the result that you stand saved forever through faith in Jesus Christ. The perfect tense is an intensive perfect saved in the past with the result that you stand saved forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Three, the intensive perfect emphasizes the finished product, which means you are saved forever and have eternal security. The intensive periphrastic participle. Perfect, the intensive perfect periphrastic participle is the emphatic method in the Greek of presenting the fact of eternal security after salvation through faith in Christ. So that, those two verses, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you read it in English. How many of you knew it was a perfect periphrastic participle? Nothing like alliteration, see. For by grace you have been saved in the past with the result that you stand saved forever through faith in Christ, And this salvation is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, lest any man should boast. All right. That brings us to the third rationale for eternal security, the positional sanctification rationale. The moment you place your faith in Christ, what happens the moment you place your faith in Christ? God, the Holy Spirit, baptizes you. This is spirit baptism. Faith in Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, enters you into union with Christ. You're identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to see this in great detail when we get to Romans chapter 6. And we'll get there. We're in Romans 5 already. Hell, we'll be in Romans 6 before the next 10 years are over. And Romans 6 is a great chapter on the union with Christ and identification with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. This is the positional sanctification rationale. Positional sanctification rationale. So let's take a look. Here we are again. Here's the cross. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. You place your faith in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Christ. You're identified with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth. You're identified with Christ in His resurrection. You are now in union with Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus Christ? Seated at the right hand of God the Father. Where are you? You are in union with Jesus Christ positionally. Every believer, every church age believer, from Pentecost to the rapture, is entered into union with Jesus Christ. Positional sanctification. And once you're in union with Jesus Christ, you are there forever and ever and ever and ever, and that means eternal security. Romans 8. Romans 8. Let's start at verse 37. Romans 8, verse 37. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is where? Where is it? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Where are you? You are in Christ Jesus. In union with Jesus Christ, at the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, you're in union with Christ. So that last prepositional phrase, verse 39, in Christ Jesus our Lord, is technical for our union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So a couple of things. One, because we are in union with Christ, because we are in union with Christ, nothing can separate us from our eternal salvation. Because we are in union with Christ, nothing can separate us from our eternal salvation. Two, we can never get out of union with Christ. We could also call this the baptism of the Spirit rationale for eternal security. Three, through the baptism of the Spirit at the point of faith in Christ, every believer is entered into union with Christ. This is called positional sanctification. Through the baptism of the Spirit at the point of faith in Christ, every believer is entered into union with Jesus Christ. This is called positional sanctification. 4. Therefore, every church-age believer shares who and what Christ is. We're in union with Christ, so every church-age believer shares who and what Christ is. So, 1, we share Jesus Christ's divine righteousness, and we share Jesus Christ's eternal life. So we share Jesus Christ's divine righteousness because we're in union with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God the Father, made him, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in hypostatic union, who had no sin, the impeccability of Christ, to be sin, the imputation of the sins of the whole world, to Christ on the cross, for us. That's the preposition of substitution, as a substitute for us. So that in Him, in union with Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So that in Him, in union with Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God, sharing the righteousness of God, our righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, we share Jesus Christ's eternal life. Turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony: God has given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son, in union with Jesus Christ. Through the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with Christ. We share the righteousness of Christ. We share the eternal life of Christ. And this life is in His Son, in union with Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that is the positional sanctification rationale, or we could call it the baptism of the Spirit rationale of eternal security. We're in about second gear. We still have third gear, fourth gear, and light speed. We have a lot to go yet. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.